Well, hello and welcome once again. Glad to have you aboard. This might sound like a bit of a silly question, maybe even bordering on stupid, but I'm going to ask it because it's the title of my sermon today. Can God lie? Can God lie? Well, the way I see it, and you might disagree, or you may not, it's up to you. It's impossible. It's impossible for God to lie. Do you know why? Do you know why God cannot lie? Well, before we go any further, I want to read verses 1 and 2 from Titus. Paul wrote to Titus, and listen carefully. Paul, a servant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect, and the acknowledging of the truth which is after godliness. Verse 2. In hope of eternal life, which God, that cannot lie, promised before the world began. Okay? Now, just those two verses to get us on our way. But first, let us seek the presence of our Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, how great Thou art, Lord God, and how great are Thy precepts. You truly are the God of all creation, of everything that ever was, is, and ever shall be. God, please incline Thine ear and bless each one who would do likewise to hear this message. Please give unto me, Lord, utterance and wisdom. And may the joy of Thy word find lodging in each heart that hears this message. And when all is said and done, may you receive the glory, and may your blessed Son, Jesus Christ, be lifted up. In His name, His precious and holy name, I pray. Amen. Amen. Okay. We're on the subject of whether or not God can lie. That's the title of my sermon. Can God lie? Can God lie? Okay, let's go back to verse 2, which reads, in hope of eternal life, which God, now these three next words are the key to it all, who cannot lie. Now if God could lie, why would He write in His book that He's a liar? Who cannot lie, promised before the world began. That's the hope of eternal life. He promised us the hope of eternal life from a God who cannot lie. So, you know, you can say, well, I don't know if I really understand or want to believe that. Well, you're calling God a liar. If you don't want to believe it, if you can't understand it, well, stay tuned. Before this message is finished, I have a feeling you will understand. Before the world began, now, I know it's hard to grasp that. Before the earth was formed, before any life was given, He, God, promised eternal life. Eternal life. Now, how is that for a promise? Wow. Can God lie? Well, let God be truth and every man a liar. All right? Can you take that? Do you know why God cannot lie? Well, it's because He is the beginning and the end, the first and the last, and everything in between, too. And when God says something, it is immediately immediately brought into existence. Let there be light. Was there light? Of course there was. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. He literally spoke everything into existence. It says so right here in Genesis verse 1. Genesis 1 verse 1. God made the earth and all that is upon it. And in it, He also made the heavens and all that they contain. He also made you and me and everybody else who comes along. There were times when I thought that after He made me, He discovered the error of His ways. Just a little bit on the light side there. But then I was reminded that God cannot err. There's no error with God. Neither does He make any junk. See? We're not junk. We're God's creation. You see, you gotta treat your kids good. And don't ever tell your children that they're ugly or they're stupid. I hate to say this, but my dad always said to me, Tommy, you haven't got the brains God gave to geese. Wow, that, when I was just a little kid and he said that to me, it didn't really resonate. But when I think in retrospect, why would a father say that to his son, even jokingly, especially in front of others? I can't really comprehend that. I do forgive him. He's long gone, but I do forgive that, what he said. And guess what? Just as God made the heaven and the earth and the stars and the planets, He really liked what He had made. He really liked. How do we know? Well, it says so right there in Genesis 1 verse 10. And God saw that it was good. He saw that it was good. Could it be otherwise if God made it? Well, of course not. Did God make good and evil? That's another question. Did God make good and evil? Well, no. In the beginning, there was no evil, you see. Everything was good and pure and holy. Even that old devil, Satan, God made him good in the beginning when he was called Lucifer. But then he rebelled before God. And God kicked him out of heaven. So your next question is, then why did the good that God made become evil? Why did the good that God made become evil? Well, the short answer is, God does not make robots. Man makes robots. Although He did make all things good, and for His pleasure, He also gave us free will. Free will to do as we want, as we please. Imagine for a moment that everything and everybody in your life was absolutely perfect, flawless, and never going astray, endless perfection. The tide was never affected by the moon. Grass always stayed green. We never grew old. Roses never died. Everywhere you looked, everything you saw was perfect and never changed. Imagine, even people. Ooh. Do you suppose that would become kind of boring for God after a few hundred years? And there was no need for the earth to be replenished? Well, if God made us like robots, how could we love Him? How could we care about Him and who He was and what He had to say if we were just a machine? We'd be programmed, wouldn't we? Robots are programmed. God didn't make us like robots. Now I'm not saying that God gets bored. No, God is above all things. You have to understand that. God is above all things. But just think what our lives would be like with the same old thing, day after day after day. Ladies who do their housework and cooking, well, they know what I'm talking about. The same old drudgery, day after day after day, not to mention looking after the kids. God even gave us seasons and created cycles. Spring, summer, winter, fall, or fall and winter. Now, because God is omniscient, that means He knows all things. Got that? God knows all things, including the end from the beginning. He knows what's going to happen tomorrow. He knows what's going to happen 100,000 years from now. He knows the end from the beginning. He knows everything. He's omniscient. God made us to become involved in His plan. To become involved. To inhabit a land. To replenish. To love that which He loves. And to hate that which is an abomination in His eyes. Not to just put up with it, but to hate it. God hates them. Now, God doesn't hate anything that He made. He doesn't hate us. Some people think, well, because God didn't answer our prayer or God let this happen to us, that He hates us. No, He does not hate His creation. But He does hate sin. He hates when His perfect creation defiles itself. Even the ground itself. If we look at Genesis 3, verses 17 and 18, we read, "And unto Adam He said, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree, of which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it, cursed is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life." Verse 18, "Thorns also and thistles shall bring forth to thee, shall it bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat the herb of the field." The herb of the field. I could do a segue here into the virtuous woman, but I won't go there. I already did a sermon on that. I don't know any women that want to hear it. I don't know why not. It's a blessing. It's a blessing to them, for sure. But I won't go there. That's not what this is all about. Of course, in the beginning, before sin entered in, we would all be perfect and remain perfect. Now tell me something. The Bible says that God's ways are not our ways, and that's understandable. He's holy and sinless. We are not. We stumble, we fall, we trip. So get this. If we were all perfect and sinless like our Creator, then would we need Him? Would we actually need God if we were perfect? We never died. We never grew old. The sin that besets us, so easily besets us, would not be sin even. We wouldn't need Him. Why do you suppose Lucifer was cast down to earth? that we might know right from wrong. We might know good from evil. To everything there is a season and a time to every purpose under the heaven. God knows exactly what He's doing and showed us how much He really loved us. What did He do? He sent His only begotten Son to be a propitiation for our sins, that we may become the sons of God and share eternity with Him in glory. You see, God knows the end from the beginning. This is why Paul wrote in Titus 1, verse 2, in hope of eternal life, which God, that cannot lie, promised before the world began. That eternal life will either be in heaven or in hell. But Paul also wrote in the same chapter 1, in the final verse, verse 16, they profess that they know God, but in works they deny Him, being abominable and disobedient and unto every good work reprobate. That's not nice. Let's go over to Romans 16. Romans 16, verses 25 and 26. And read, now to Him that is of power to establish you according to my gospel, Paul is writing, and the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery which was kept secret since the world began, verse 26, but now is made manifest, and by the scriptures of the prophets, according to the commandment of the everlasting God, made known to all nations for the obedience of faith. Now I'm going to read verse 26 once more. Listen carefully. But now is made manifest. See, it's not kept secret anymore. It's made manifest. And by the scriptures of the prophets, according to the commandment of the everlasting God, made known to all nations, for the obedience of faith. Wow. Let's look at this briefly and just break it down a little bit. To Him that is of power. That's God, right? We're speaking of God. To establish you according to my gospel. Paul talked about his gospel. According to the revelation of the mystery which was kept secret since the world began. It wasn't revealed. But now, it is. But now is made manifest. But now is made manifest. Do you get that? It's shown. Where? In His holy King James Bible. Over in Titus chapter 2, verse 11, we read, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men. That's all men. Verse 12, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. In this present world. Do we have any excuse for not believing the written word of God? Do we? At a glance, I'd say none, none whatsoever. In other words, we haven't got a leg to stand on. But we have a Savior to lean on. Isn't Jesus wonderful? You know, when I was teaching in Christian school down in the Maritimes, we used to sing this little song almost daily in the class. Isn't he wonderful, wonderful, wonderful? Isn't Jesus my Lord wonderful? Eyes have seen, ears have heard, it's recorded in God's Word. Isn't Jesus my Lord wonderful? Wow. Lisa loves singing that almost daily in class. Can God lie? Can God lie? The Bible says, let God be true and every man a liar. Oh, thank you, Lord God. Thank you. And thank you, people, even my brothers and sisters. May God's rich blessing be upon you and your house. In Jesus' wonderful name I pray.